B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, September 13th, 2019. Friday the 13th, your home for esports and gaming. Real quick, before we get into Checkpoint XP Daily, I want to remind you guys, we just launched a brand new show. It's called Checkpoint XP on Campus. This is the first real effort that's been made really anywhere to cover collegiate esports in an organized fashion. So make sure you join Norris for the very first episode, where you can subscribe to the podcast over at our website, checkpointxp.com, bpodstudios.com, and radio.com. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got three conversations from the Esports Business Summit that we just didn't have time for. Matt Edelman will join us, plus we'll hear from Felix LaHaye, CEO of United Esports. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a conversation that Norris and Joe had about the LCS Gauntlet.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We are out here at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the MGM Convention Center. It is a great time so far.
It really
is. Awesome, right?
It's been really cool.
So we need to talk about something that happened over the weekend, a major event, at least for us.
Yes, sir.
The League of Legends, the LCS Regional Qualifier.
A.K.A. The Gauntlet.
Which, by the way, is such a great name. For a tournament.
It really is.
The final four teams left in the LCS were duking it out for their chance to go and represent North America as the third competitor. Obviously, Team Liquid and Cloud9 already have secured their spot. Even before they went to the LCS Summer Split Finals, mm-hmm. they had already secured their place. And it was kind of all just about who's going to get that third spot.
Who's the third team going to be? That was the big question.
Day one was Friday. We had Clutch Gaming going up against FlyQuest. And I feel like FlyQuest got...
They got the raw deal.
Well, they were also majorly disrespected leading into that. You know what I mean?
Like they were.
Basically, everyone was like, yeah, every team's got a chance to win except FlyQuest.
Well, and unfortunately, that's the way it panned out, too.
Well, I think it was a 3-1 finish. So FlyQuest, don't get me wrong, it's not like they didn't get anything out of it.
That's
they
right.
They did manage to take a game. It wasn't the 3-0 crush that everyone thought it was going to be. FlyQuest ends up losing to Clutch Gaming, and Clutch Gaming advances to take on Counter Logic Gaming, who in a rematch of what we saw at the LCS Summer Split Finals, the third place match.
That's right.
Most people here, I felt... thought we were going to see a repeat, basically. Counter Logic Gaming beat them once. Surely they'll just do it again. But as Counter Logic Gaming always does...
Disappoint, Joe.
When it actually matters...
That's true.
They don't perform.
That's true. But the thing is that we got to remember Counter Logic Gaming had to pull off a reverse sweep in order to beat Clutch at the third place match.
How could I forget?
LCS Summer Split Finals. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Clutch essentially had the formula for beating CLG.
It was just a matter of execution.
It was a matter of execution. It was a matter of staying focused. And I think Clutch was not about to let the same thing happen twice, which as far as the results show, they didn't. They closed out the match. They did what they were supposed to do, and they were able to advance.
And then we go into the finals on Sunday, where we've got Team Solo Mid taking on Clutch Gaming. Clutch looking to run the gauntlet, and all that's left in their way is TSM, who most people expected to be the ones to emerge from this, if for no other reason than they had the easiest path through the gauntlet tournament. Only one win necessary for them. And
they blew it.
That isn't what happened.
They blew it.
As they've done so many times in the last couple of years, like ever since franchising, I feel like They blew it again.
TSM did. I mean, first of all, here's the thing. TSM played very aggressively in the first couple games. They pretty much dominated the top lane battle. They did what they were supposed to do in order to shut down what Clutch, you know, would be able to do. Cody Sun was unable to really get started. They denied the Kiana from DeMonte, who we all know, if Kiana gets the DeMonte, I mean, a lot of times that could be win or lose right there.
It is weird how much he carries on that particular champion. You know
it,
what I mean?
It is very strange, especially a new champion.
Yeah, exactly. And it's and not one where it's like, not every team needs to ban out Kiana, but if you're playing against Clutch Gaming, you either pick her or you ban her. Those are kind of your options. Yeah.
You probably should.
Otherwise, you could have some problems on your hands. So we've got Clutch Gaming. They go down 0-2 in the series, and then, as we saw at the finals, the reverse sweep begins.
And it started, why? Because DeMonte got the Kiana. Once he got on the Kiana, the entire sort of flow of the match completely reversed. And it went the other way, and Clutch Gaming was able to mount the comeback. Now, with this said, Clutch now has the final spot for North America in the World Championship.
They do, yes.
League of Legends. They're going to go to the
play-in stages.
The play-in stages. Yep. They haven't qualified outright
for the main event.
For the main event. But now that they're in the play-ins, is Clutch Gaming a team that can make some noise on the world level?
I feel like Clutch Gaming is almost our version of a team like Fongvu Buffalo, where they will win some games that they really on paper aren't supposed to. You know what I mean? They are a team that for all intents and purposes, they should show up at Worlds and have a very short trip to Worlds effectively. Yes. But they have a tendency to play up to their competition. When they played against Team Liquid, they played Team Liquid very hard and looked better than they probably actually are.
Yeah.
When they play against bad teams, they don't look usually as good. No. But at Worlds, the competition level is going to be very high from most regions. There will be a couple of regions where you're like, yeah, I don't know if you guys need to be here. But I think Clutch is a team that is uniquely poised to make a little bit of noise on the national level because they are a team that is very good at playing their game. They are very good at saying, look, I'm not going to play with them. Meta is. I'm going to play what we're good at playing at, and that's what they do. A lot of times I think North American teams get into that trap of trying to play what they think they're supposed to play versus what they're good at doing, and that's when they lose.
No, you're right. And you know, we're going to see what Team Liquid and what Cloud9 do. Cloud9, of course, being the most successful North American team of all time at the world level. But I think Clutch is very, I don't want to say strategically positioned, but interestingly positioned in a sense of if they go in and do play that really strange mid lane Kiana based, very roaming based game where Cody Sun doesn't die for 40 minutes, I think they will have a very, very interesting push towards making it to the main event at Worlds, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure if some of those smaller teams from the smaller regions are better than Clutch Gaming. I think, you know, whoever's coming out of LEC will, of course, be strong competition.
LPL, LCK.
Yeah, the big regions will provide the big competition.
But can Clutch compete with the LMS region?
Yes.
Can they compete with the Vietnamese region?
Yes.
Can they compete with the Japanese region?
Yes.
LPJ?
Yes.
Yeah, those are regions I feel like Clutch can compete with.
Yeah, and I think not only compete, I think they can be successful against and dominant against. So, you know, I think that there is a path for them into the main event. It, you know, whether they succeed at it remains to be seen. But I do think that it is something that they may be able to pull off for sure.
Yeah. So the group stages, I should clarify, play-in stages get you to group stages.
That's right.
So the play-in stages is what Clutch has qualified for. But I need to ask you right now.
Okay.
Calling your shot.
Okay.
Which of the three North American teams, Team Liquid, C9, or Clutch, is going the furthest at Worlds? First of all, does Clutch escape plans?
I think they do.
Okay.
I actually think Clutch escapes plans. I think they get absolutely washed in groups, though.
You think the dream ends at groups?
I do. I think, you know, they're probably, knowing North America's luck, they'll end up in, like, the group of death with, like, Griffin and Royal Never Give Up and like one other.
And SKT.
And Fnatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's who they end up with, or G2 or somebody like that. I think that ends up their group and everybody goes, oh, well, that's
was
over. But I think to your original question, I think Team Liquid does make it the furthest. And the reason why I think they make it the furthest is because I think Double F is at a point in his career where he knows that this is what he needs. Before, I think he was a bit okay with just being the champion of North America. That's gotten stale to him now. I honestly believe that. It's stale to him.
He's won four consecutive splits.
Yeah.
It only can mean so much when you then go and get washed at Worlds.
Yeah, I think it's stale to him, and I think he finally has the team that can not just play around him, but can dominate other teams. We saw at MSI that they are able to stand up to the best of the best by beating Invictus Gaming.
Yes.
Now, they came up against G2, who, in my opinion, especially over the spring, was the best team in the world. But I think that Liquid may be able to make a run all the way to the finals. That's going to be my prediction.
And that's the thing is all the way to the finals, Norris. You're like making me like I'm salivating.
I think they can make the finals.
You know how much I need that in my life.
But I think they can make the finals, man.
I mean, if we got a repeat, could you imagine if we got a European and American
G2TL?
Oh, a literal rematch, yeah, from MSI.
I don't think Fnatic has it, so it would have to be G2.
But imagine what the response to League of Legends around here would be like. It'd be like nothing you've ever seen before.
No, because Worlds very much so for the West is, hey, all right, let's see how quickly Korea can beat everyone.
Can we take a game and play in stages this year? Let's find out.
It'll be great.
Nope, 0-8 again.
But I think that we've finally gotten to a point where North American League of Legends not only is competitive on the world stage, I think it is something to be feared. And I think because of the exact point you said earlier is that they are beginning to play their own game. Meta be damned. We're not going to play the Korean version. We're not going to play what they play in LPL. We're bringing North American League of Legends to the world stage, and we're going to see success. I think that confidence is there now.
Well, we want to hear from you. What team do you think is going to perform best at Worlds this year? Do you think Clutch Gaming has a shot of getting out of the groups, or into the group stages, rather? Let us know. Follow us on social media. That's twitch.tv. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. We're going to have more coming up to you from the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's coming up next.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hello, everyone. We are back live at the Esports Business Summit for you. If you hear forklifts in the background, that is the level of live we are. There's a lot of stuff still being set up here, but we have a very special guest, friend of the show, Matt Edelman, the Chief Commercial Officer for Super League Gaming. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be back with you guys.
Yeah, so we've actually had you on the show a couple times. We had you once out at NAB, and we had you again shortly after to talk about your guys' new partnership with Capcom. I'm wondering, just real quick, as we always start with, can you give our listeners a reminder of Super League Gaming? What it is you guys do?
Sure. You know, Super League has been around for a little over 3 years. We are actually now a public company. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much. That happened earlier this year. We run in-person esports and social gaming events around the country in about 35 markets across a variety of different venues, including Topgolf and Buffalo Wild Wings restaurants, PC gaming centers. We also run city versus city leagues that are more competitive in nature and really bring out sort of the premium amateur players. And we publish content across digital and social platforms that is both gameplay oriented and also full of entertaining gameplay moments and highlight clips that are coming from our community.
And so you're out here at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas. You know, what are you guys presenting here? Or are you here in more of an observer capacity? What do you have planned for the conference here?
I can't be just an observer. Got to be active. Look, we're here to continue to help the industry promote all the great things that are happening within esports, all the wonderful components of what it means to be a gamer. And we're talking with other groups in the industry. We're talking with a lot of the brands who are here thinking about how they want to reach gamers and become connected to the gamer culture, which has really become a central component of the cultural landscape in today's world. And so it's really to support the industry and help people understand how Super League is creating a lot of positivity in the ecosystem.
Well, you mentioned that you guys are working on the city-based leagues and that idea of, you know, kind of regionalism and being able to take pride in where you're from and what you do. And we're seeing more esports leagues try to tap into that idea. We're seeing things happen on the collegiate level. We're seeing things happen in Overwatch League and Call of Duty League. Is that the next step that esports needs to take, is for people to be able to go out and say, hey, I'm a fan of, you know, my city's team? Is that where where esports needs to get to?
I would put it a little differently. I think being the fan of a team that has a geographic identity is a big step, and love that Overwatch decided to go there from the very beginning. We set up our city-based city clubs, our esports city clubs, actually even before Overwatch set up their teams. And the goal there was not just to create fans, it was to bring players together. So our city clubs are really about bringing players together to be part of something that is connected to where they live. So they feel like their local community is a place where they belong as a gamer. And that, I think, is really where we see the big opportunity. We see that as being a primary area that's going to drive growth in competitive gaming. So it's less about being fans and more about being players on a local level.
Awesome. And so here at the Esports Business Summit, as you mentioned, there's a lot of companies, a lot of brands that are here, a lot of non-endemic brands as well that have a lot of representation here. As a company that is more focused on the players and the growth of the competitive scene, what has it been like for you in Super League to see the level of non-endemic investment, especially over the past couple years really sort of grow in esports?
Well, it makes a ton of sense, right? I mean, if you think about sort of the nature of what's happened over digital platforms over the last, call it 10 to 15 years, it started with the proliferation of information being accessible to everyone at their fingertips. Then it became about connecting socially through platforms. And now we've really moved into really the world of the creator. And gaming is the epicenter, it's the origination point for creativity for most people through technology. When young kids first get onto screens, they're playing games. Minecraft is a creative environment. Roblox is a creative environment. And so from our perspective, it makes a ton of sense that brands would be looking at gaming and competitive gaming, which is really the passion point for a lot of gamers as they mature and get into their teens and 20s and 30s, and really never grow out of gaming. And so it's not a surprise, and we think more endemic brands are going to come into the space with every passing year, because that's where the consumers are and that's how to touch, you know, a part of the world that they care about.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently at the Esports Business Summit talking with Super League Gaming's Matt Edelman. So, Matt, I wanted to talk a little bit more about this this idea of people not putting video games away as they get older now. No one has any intention, it seems like, of just being, you know, I'm done with video games. That kind of mindset is for generations gone by. It's going to be a part of our lives, you know, well into our late stages. Can you talk about how important it's going to be for media to kind of embrace that gaming and content creation idea? Because Super League Gaming, your move into content creation and expansion into that is fascinating to me.
Sure. Well, look, from our perspective, the amazing thing about the creativity that comes through gameplay is that when you're watching gameplay highlights on, for instance, some of our social channels, you don't know when you're watching that gameplay highlight whether it's coming from a pro player, an influencer, or an everyday player who you've never heard of. The gameplay moment, the highlight, the funny experience that occurred in gameplay can come from anywhere, which really supports the idea that gamers are the ultimate creators. When they play a game, they're creating their own version of the gameplay experience, and we like to showcase that to celebrate their creativity and their skill. Media has to embrace it because that is what the bulk of young people are doing today. If it's not something that media companies really lean into and try to figure out a way to tap into in order to build their audiences will continue to age out. That is one of the problems with traditional offline sports. Mm-hmm. The audiences are getting older and they're getting less diverse. We think gaming is the solution there.
Right. Well, it seems like more and more the new generation is very into interactivity with their media. They want to have a say in the everything from the development of it to how it's received. We see that all the time with whether it's a petition for changing the ending of Game of Thrones or whatever. Everyone has an opinion, and the ability for companies to step in and let that opinion matter and mean something is going to make all the difference, it sounds like.
I think that's right. Again, if you consider where it begins with an 8 to 9 to 10-year-old being able to design their own experience or have a unique experience compared to anyone else who's ever played the game they're playing right at that moment. So it's the very kernel of creativity and the idea that I can have an impact on the media that I consume and that people around me are going to consume. That's frankly why it's multi-generational. Parents are seeing the creativity and the inventiveness and the positive communication that comes out of gaming when players are connected to each other. For us, that happens primarily in physical environments where we're bringing communities of players into the same space to connect and feel a sense of belonging. But it happens online as well. Fortnite proved that. It became the social network for a new generation that hadn't discovered Instagram yet. So the reason that parents are connecting is because they see that that's how their kids are maturing and developing unique characteristics and components of their intellectual growth.
And speaking of those physical spaces, you know, where have you guys gone so far? Maybe where do you envision on going to in the future where people will be able to sort of participate in what Super League Gaming has to offer? And also, what games will they be able to play at these locations?
That's a great question, and it's something that we think about, and we're really trying to advance forward in the most expansive possible way every week. So right now, we run events in Topgolfs and Buffalo Wild Wings and Dave & Buster's. Depending on the broadband availability and the gameplay devices that might be available in those locations, we can offer anything from a console experience occasionally in those places, a PC experience, and definitely mobile gaming competitions. We think the growth of mobile gaming in physical spaces is going to grow considerably, if for no other reason than that is what people bring with them most conveniently. That is a gaming device. The growth of the PC gaming center market is also very exciting to us. We have a terrific partner in a company named GG Circuit that has software deployed in hundreds of LAN centers around the world. The growth of the audiences going into gaming centers is really impressive. So we think that in many cases, those gaming centers that are designed for PC gameplay and console gameplay are going to become larger and more important cultural hubs in the communities where they're located. And then we also recently produced the very first, from our knowledge, in the U.S., 5G gaming event with Sprint. With the rollout of 5G, we think the location where players can game is going to become really creative and fun. People would be able to bring PCs into Central Park and connect through 5G and be playing League of Legends while they're relaxing in the sun.
Yeah, I need to hang on that because 5G is we talk about the technical expansions that esports has gone through, the ability to eventually run things in an arena. But one of the things that holds it back a lot of times is
networking
issues. 5G, to me at least, seems like it could be the next, like it could be the equivalent of the HD jump in television broadcasting. 5G seems like it could be the next big thing for esports.
It sure can. Look, 5G is going to change a lot for people and businesses. Different industries are going to be transformed because of the technology. As it relates to gaming, however, there is a ton of opportunity and change coming because of 5G. Literally, you don't need wires, and you can have a fantastic, fully supported gaming experience on the most complex device with the most bandwidth hungry game imaginable. So I think it's going to be a real game changer, which is just use of the word game way too many times.
But with that said, you know, we're asking everybody here at the Business Summit, what does the future of esports look like to you in the next, let's say, year to 5 years?
I might be able to give you something that could be accurate within a year. 5 years out, it's going
to
be tough.
Yeah, right. It's hard to imagine 5 years.
It's hard, but let's say a year.
No, look, I think it's only going to grow. I mean, I think what we're seeing now is we've kind of passed what a lot of people are referring to as the wild, wild west phase of professional esports. There might be some consolidation in terms of the number of pro teams or the number of leagues that are organized and start to show financial success, but there will still be overall growth in the amount of people watching esports, the amount of players wanting to compete in the game they love most. There will be more activity at the community level. You know, if you think of traditional sports, there are a lot of ways that gamers can get engaged. I'm sorry, that athletes can get engaged in the sports that they love in the traditional world, whether it's through their local YMCA or a local rec league, whether it's adult softball or little league, whether it's high school, whether it's college. All of those components of esports are going to expand considerably. When you have today's 25-year-olds starting to have kids, those kids are going to enter youth esports leagues. So there's a prediction that's about 5 years out or more.
Awesome.
But that's really where we're going to see a lot of expansion.
Awesome. Now, where can anybody find more information about Super League Gaming and where you guys may end up next?
Well, look, SuperLeague.com is a place that we talk about all the different things that we're doing. We list the events you can participate in. We actually list events that we don't run ourselves so that players can find events near them or online that they'd be interested in, because we really want to promote the idea of play and gaming no matter where or how you get access to that. And so SuperLeague.com, and then if you love watching gameplay highlights of a variety of games, some of our social channels are really fun to follow. Framerate GG on Instagram, Framerate underscore FN also on Instagram, Super League TV on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. A lot of great content. And then we have our YouTube channel as well under Super League TV.
Awesome.
Matt Edelman, Chief Commercial Officer for Super League Gaming, has been our guest once again here on Checkpoint XP. Good friend of the show. That's right. Matt, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
We'll have more coming to you from the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP. We are out here at the Esports Business Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the MGM Convention Center. Norris is sneezing off camera over
there.
Shut up. How you doing? Joining us now is Felix LaHaye. He is the CEO of United Esports. Felix, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for time.
We're doing really well. So one of the things we need to start with is, because I've been promised a great story here, is I'm supposed to ask how you got into what you're doing now, because apparently it's great.
Cool. All right. The short version of the story is I've been a nerd my entire life. All aspects of it. Yesterday I was wearing my Star Trek cufflinks.
You were, and they were awesome. You're giving away Dungeons and Dragons dice.
We were awesome. Indeed. We still have a couple, so.
Okay, great.
I've actually saved my favorite ones and put them on the side. These are totally not forgiving.
Yes.
So I did all my career in basically media and marketing. So before it was outside of esports, outside of gaming. And last year I decided to create this company to bring my skills and, you know, and my build a team of guys. Between the three of us in the leadership team, we have 2,500 campaigns. Wow. And that's advertising and media campaigns for our clients. All of us love esports. All of us love gaming, all types of gaming. So what we really do is we help brands. Usually brands have nothing to do at first glance with esports or gaming. Get into that space and talk to the audiences. So if you've seen some ads, only the good ones are ours.
Of course.
And that's it. That's kind of what we do in a quick fire way.
Yeah, but how did you get, you know, sort of the foundation laid for United Esports? You know, what was the one thing that gravitated you towards, you know, really starting the company?
Sure. So there's a lot of different types of people in esports, but the two major groups, let's say, are publishers, gaming people, and sports people. And of course, now there's more and more media people, but that's really what we wanted to bring, kind of a third pole of expertise. Obviously, we're not the only media and marketing people in esports, but that's really something we're trying to build here. And the truth of the matter is that esports audiences are very smart. People who like esports, I mean, at least we tell each other that. You know, so they're smart, so you have to communicate with them with something that resonates. And a lot of brands and organizations nowadays understand that esports is a thing.
Right.
They don't necessarily know what kind of thing it is. And some of them even think esports is one thing when it's about, I don't know, 100 different things.
Right, exactly. Everyone thinks that they can get a, you know, one paragraph summation of what is esports, and that's not realistic.
No.
Yeah. It is so many different things. Like, we've been asking people, you know, last year, well, at the Esports Business Summit, it was very esports 101. It was very,
absolutely,
like, oh my God, can you believe esports is a thing? This is crazy. What could it do for me? This year, the required reading, you're expected to know what esports is, and you're expected to be here to, you know, contribute to the conversation. What's your opinion of the summit this year?
I actually really liked the summit this year. I liked it last year. Joe and I actually met last year here.
Yep.
Had a chat with Nate.
Yep, with Nate, mm-hmm, as well. Yep, we sure did.
And yeah, I mean, it was cool last year. It was kind of a bit last minute for me, at least.
Yeah.
A bunch of people was like, okay, well, let's start and see what the other people in esports are doing. Here you have kind of a more, as you said, 201 approach. It's kind of mixed. There's even some pretty advanced talks. I think it's really a good spot to be. And it's in Vegas, so it's not boring either.
Yeah, at the worst case scenario, you're still in Vegas.
That's true. So one thing I'm curious about is that, you know, we hear this buzzword of non-endemic brands or non-endemic sponsorship. You know, what is it like, you know, as a company that's trying to bring esports and some of the non-endemic brands together to talk about marketing, talk about advertisement? What's that process been like? And has it been an easy process?
I mean, from a corporate standpoint, maybe no, but from a personal standpoint, I obviously love it. So yes, it's been easy. The truth is that right now, compared to last year when we started, people know that esports is something. So it's really much easier to go into a room, and we're still before that point where they think they know exactly what it is. So they really rely on companies like us to give them advice, put them the right direction.
Not the wrong direction.
Yeah. But what I meant to say, the reason for that hiccup is that there happens sometimes in marketing, especially in media, when there's something new, people will have a fake notion that they know what it is without knowing. Mm. And we're not there yet. And I don't think esports marketing is going to become like that, because it's so you know, the communities are so diverse, and you have to be so connected with them to communicate with them efficiently, that I really hope, and I hope it's not wishful thinking, that it continues to be like the way it is. People are not necessarily from esports relying on people like us to give them good tips.
Yeah, you can't market to the FGC the same way that you market to League of Legends. It just doesn't work. It's a different community that you're trying to reach.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I always smile a little bit when I read the gaming community. I'm like, all right.
Well, which one?
That is like 90% of all people at this point.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so one thing I am curious about is that we know gamers and, you know, millennials as a larger blanket term, and Gen Z as well, have been, quote unquote, notoriously hard to sell to, or they don't want to be sold to. So as a marketer, you know, have you found it difficult to sort of make campaigns or work on campaigns that, you know, really truly resonate? Or do you feel because you guys come from the community that you find it much easier to create those campaigns?
I think a bit of both. I don't think actually that millennials and Gen Z are completely reluctant to being advertised to. I think they're reluctant to being advertised to stupidly.
Yeah.
If I'm going to say.
No, I mean, we're used to being condescended to.
Yeah, yes. You know, so, I mean, I grew up and I was born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s. If you think about the ads we used to see on TV back then, they're ridiculous.
Yeah. They're insane.
And there's still a little bit of that now, but that's what really is not resonating with millennials and Gen Z is, I mean, when you really build a campaign that's experiential, that's intelligent, that speaks to what they want to hear, I mean, the whole idea is to create what we call non-disruptive advertising. Our goal is to make an ad that's as fun to watch as the program that you're watching. Obviously, it's going to maybe interrupt the program, but you know, it can also be a good part of it. So.
Right. It's something that you almost can look forward to. I mean, we've seen a limited number of advertisements over the years that have kind of, you know, the Bud Light Real Men of Genius, like the ones that are remembered fondly because, yeah, just because you're, you know, marketing a product doesn't mean you have to be annoying the consumer.
Correct. I mean, I'm a marketer, so yes, absolutely.
So absolutely. All right, so we've asked the important or the standard questions. Now we got to get to what's important.
Good.
What's the best Star Trek series?
TNG, obviously.
Boom. That is correct.
Why would anybody say anything besides TNG?
I had someone the other day trying to convince me that Deep Space Nine was the best Trek series.
No.
And it, like, listen, if you like are able to awake from the coma after season one, sure, maybe it's fine. But that series is rough, man. I'm telling you.
The Dominion Wars are pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
I will say that's
I'll
one of my
admit,
favorite narratives.
The end of Deep Space Nine is great. Everything else is kind of...
See, this is the stuff we're talking about that works with millennials and Gen Z. Just talk about Star Trek. Or something. I don't know.
Kind of.
But, you know, what are some, I'm curious, what are some of, you know, the campaigns that you guys have worked on that you've been really proud of?
Oof. I mean, I think our creative team is really cool. You know, to me, we do campaigns a bunch of different things, but especially to me, here, what I'm speaking about tomorrow is actually streaming campaigns. So, just to make an example, streaming campaigns are live. So every time you do something that is fun and integrates as part of stream, either it's having someone dress up or it's someone eating something, but not just like, let me pause and eat my hamburger.
Yeah.
These are all the works that we're proud of. So I don't want to single out a single campaign. So that was the one that everything came to. But I think in general, I'm really proud of our team, you know, our strategy team, our creative team, Justin, Jaitai, the whole team, Thomas. So, you know, all the campaigns I'm pretty happy with. I'm a bad salesperson too. I'll tell you guys that. You know, we'll go and say, you esports marketing is not for you. Go do something else.
So I will say this, and we had a really great conversation about this before we've gone live here, is that apparently your office has a ton of Overwatch fans.
Yes.
Right? Who is your team right now?
LA Valiant.
Oh, see, I was LA Valiant season one because I don't have a home team. So
yeah, we don't get a home team.
Now Vancouver came in, and I love Runaway. So
I mean, I'm from Montreal, and Montreal has a historic rivalry with Toronto.
Yes,
they made the Montreal team the farm team for Toronto.
How disappointing.
So I'm like, I cannot cheer for Montreal. I will cheer for where I live in LA, so I cheer for LA as a result.
Awesome. And so the one thing we are asking everybody here today is, where do you see esports going in the next year? We intend on being here next year, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully.
So when we loop back around and talk to you again next year, what do you hope has changed in the world of esports?
Ooh, so I love the fact that you're asking in 1 year, because everyone's always like 10 years. So 10 years, I think we have all an idea, a wishful thinking. It's gonna be the biggest thing ever, and everyone's gonna be watching. 1 year, I think it's gonna be better of the same somehow. I don't think there's a game that's gonna come out and change everything for the esports space. Obviously, people talk about COD, so we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. But I think generally speaking, right now from a media and marketing standpoint, we're seeing a lot of introductory and mid-introductory budgets. I think people are going to roll out more long-term plans and strategy. And I think the hooks, and there's a lot of brands already have deep hooks, but the hooks of the ones that are bigger are going to be deepened. So I'm answering from my idea, my area, sorry, of expertise. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, esports is such a big part of my life right now that I couldn't say it's going to be much bigger, because I'm already 12 hours a day of watching esports.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm already capped.
Yeah. Felix LaHaye, the CEO of United Esports, has been our guest here today. Felix, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. This was really fun.
Thanks again to Felix LaHaye, CEO of United Esports, as well as our other guest, Matt Edelman, for their time. For full interviews as well as full coverage of the Esports Business Summit and the Tempest Awards, visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, CheckpointXP.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at Twitch. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Chad Callahan. Big thanks to everyone out at Beasley Las Vegas that helped facilitate our presence out at the Esports Business Summit. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis. And out at the Esports Business Summit, Norris Howard and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.